Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4-KIDS.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi.
White Sox! White Sox!
So rain postponed game four yesterday to today. 65 degrees. It feels a little bit more like playoff baseball in Chicago this afternoon. We go down to the field and find out a little bit of the game plan from Tom Verducci today.
Well, thanks, Adam. Imagine going into a game and not knowing whether you're facing a power pitcher or a finesse pitcher.
The 1-2 is way down and missed.
99.
Oh, yes. All right.
Gavin Sheets lifts one in the air. Deep center field. Back towards the wall. Myers leaps. It's out of here. White Sox take the lead here in game four.
Stretch. Get on back here.
Correa to left field. That will get down for a base hit. Altuve and Bregman will score, and the Astros take the lead. Correa with a two-run double in the third.
No.
Rodon gives the White Sox everything he could in his first career postseason start, his first outing in 2 weeks, but he's given up the lead.
It was a fun ride. Ended a little short, as we thought as a team, you know. But, you know, enjoyed the time together. It's been an interesting road for me. And just to have the opportunity to pitch an important game, it meant a lot. So thank you, White Sox fans. And thank you to the organization.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Deserve this.
Yeah, bathe in it. Let it wash over you. Our hearts will go on indeed. Mike Rankin on the
will
open.
They?
Yeah, of course they will, I think.
Has anybody checked on Mike?
As we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
This is more in tune than I thought it was going to be.
We have White Sox reaction to start. Mike Florio thereafter. Cody Decker with all kinds of baseball thoughts. Midday Midway at 10:40. Hub Arkish at 11. He'll be taking your calls as well. And we've got Sound and Fury signifying nothing. 312-644-6767 is our number at Sports Radio 670. We call it the Score Listener Line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You want to send an email, you send that to BernsteinRahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Your texting is in the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at RosenHyundai.com. You text, we reply, message, and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. She is at Layla Rahimi. I'm at Dan underscore Bernstein. Go ahead and download the Odyssey app to stream the score. No.
Who's drawing who like a French girl? That's all I want to know here.
Draw me like you draw one of your French girls.
Is it Tony on the couch?
Oh, God.
I actually think he has the sense of humor to laugh at that. That is one positive. The fact that I have to work to find the positives is the problem!
Be on Twitch, won't you? It's fun there when you go to twitch.tv/670thescore.com. And you can see us via these cameras. You can hang out in the chat that is moderated by Brian Gertsch and Connor O'Donnell and Evan Thomas. Indeed, that is Mike Rankin producing today with help from the executioner, Ray Diaz. But, yeah, the White Sox were a thing that happened, and it's just too bad. And going out as dumb as they did. I mean, it just in the postgame, you're going to be bitching about them hitting Abreu? First of all, it didn't look on purpose at all. And what do you do? Your season's over. Your season's over. They're going to the ALCS, and you're going home, and you're bitching about them hitting a guy?
Was that in the...
The hell?
Was that at the 4:40 mark of the game? No, it was earlier than that. It was at the 4-hour mark or so.
In the 8th.
Yes. And that's kind of my point, too, here. Like, that was a country whooping, man. Unfortunately, like, we all have to wear that today. That's exactly what that was. And for people who thought that, well, the only difference was Carlos wasn't getting the strike zone, I'm sorry. He was only in there 2 2/3. Like, it wasn't just
three
the fact,
hits and two walks and two runs.
And the upper quadrant of the strike zone wasn't working, so where's your famous slider?
He didn't want to throw three fastballs to Correa? And if you want to throw that third one, and it may be because you don't trust the catcher to block it. And if that's the case, if you don't trust your multi-million-dollar catcher to block your slider with runners on base, that third fastball better be elevated higher than
that. If you don't trust your multi-million-dollar catcher to block your pitch, then why is the catcher working with this pitching staff at all? Everybody's getting a call out today. These are the details. These are the differences that make a good team a World Series team. If you make the playoffs, you really want to be the Minnesota Twins and lose to the Yankees every time? No.
It just never tightened up.
So let's get real here. Let's step on the scale together.
It never tightened up. They from the start of the year, there were fundamental issues with this team. Defense, base running, a lack of a desire to use data to position their defense. It just never tightened up. They wanted to get smarter. They fired their manager so they could get smarter.
Supposedly.
And they got dumber. It's too bad. It's too bad to go out dumb. It was avoidable.
I'm trying to figure out what the most glaring issue was to me. And I think, unfortunately, we have to start at the starting pitching problem. Because if you're too afraid to use Lance Lynn, who you traded for multiple years of control with Dane Dunning, and prospect capital, which is really what we're talking about here, to sign Lynn, who we all really appreciate, as the ace. And you don't want to throw your ace in that game. And you didn't plan on throwing Lucas Giolito again. And you're saving it up for a game 5 that you strategically shouldn't be saving up for based on how you used everyone. The 5-game series was not guaranteed. The flaws in the process combined with the difference between the greatest players on the field for the two respective teams is really the concern here. Like, you didn't have a Lance McCullers. You didn't have a Carlos Correa.
They also had an Altuve.
You didn't have a Jose Altuve.
Right?
And unfortunately, you didn't have the upper quadrant of the strike zone, which is where Carlos had to live all day. Was I pleasantly surprised to see 99? Sure. But after seeing 99 4 times in a row, so is the opposing batter.
Sure, and then you understand that you're getting velocity at the expense of command. That there was a zero-sum aspect to it, that it was great that it was moving that fast, it just, the pitches weren't going where he wanted them to go.
2 2/3 out of your starter in an elimination game. I know the circumstances were what they were, but that's not going to get you there.
I'm not surprised that this man is out today. Bill on Capitol Hill. We'll hear his lamentations on the score.
Hello, Janamis. Before I crawl back into my winter coffin, I want to thank you for turning this into a 50,000-watt wailing wall of socks grease.
Well, what kind of choice?
I appreciate Layla's dialectical reasoning on this one. I think the difficulty here is the ignorance of the White Sox is an expanding problem now, right? So Mully asked in transition, you know, if you replay the tape here, do the Sox get clubbed even if La Russa is, you know, deploying shifts properly and embracing advanced analytics? And the answer may well be like, yeah, they may have lost. The problem is we don't know because Tony La Russa himself is hostile to the inquiry, right? And it's not like he's coming back and saying, hey, yeah, look, I saw those spray charts, but I think there's a hole in that data because, blah, you know what I mean? Whatever sort of concrete answer, it's, you know, he's a guts guy, right? That was the reference he made in his closing little area last night. That was like a Trump-esque moment with Abreu where he's just sort of whipping up a culture war even as he's getting his ass whooped. And I think the difficulty here is not just that it clearly cost the White Sox this year and then in this playoffs. This is a cost that's going to compound, right? Because at the beginning of the year, you still don't have a right fielder and you still don't have a second baseman. And as you're analyzing free agents or possible trade acquisitions, you know, defensive metrics are still in their infancy, right? It's not as concrete as the offensive metrics. So how is Rick Hahn and the staff to evaluate a player defensively who's, you know, maybe in a most other players are playing in modern analytic systems where there's shifts going on.
Right, who they can't be trusted. If you have in your mind a certain deployment and then that deployment never happens. Yes, that's a reasonable question.
And here's the problem. It's like the age-old NFL problem that we saw in the late 80s and into the early aughts. Like, is this a systems guy or is this a natural quarterback and what do we do with it? And so the problem is, as long as La Russa is your choke point here, right? I mean, yes, it's a systemic failure, but he is a key part of this bureaucracy. And as long as he's around, this ignorance is going to continue to expand and continue to cost you because you're limiting yourself on finding out how little you know, right? You can't narrow things down in a way so that one of the problems with La Russa and the guts situation, ironic enough because he used to be the computer guy, right? But like one of the problems with, you know, guys who trust their guts is it's all unfalsifiable, right? So anybody who's on Sox Twitter can easily make the case, well, yeah, it was starting pitching, or it's just as reasonable to say the umpires were out to get you or whatever. And the reason is because we have a manager who is hostile to modern inquiry and it's impossible for us to narrow it down and say, oh, yeah, well, the shift didn't really help us.
He's not just hostile to modern inquiry. He just might not believe in it. Yeah. What is it? Why are you going to answer questions to something that you don't want to acknowledge?
Yeah, that's a grim outlook, but I can't say any aspect of that is wrong because of how that impedes everything you want to do to try to just move over a little bit this way or that way to be more likely to get an out.
Dude, they lost 10-1. Like, this was a multi-system organ failure.
And Layla, back to your point about the starting pitching, and I know like the little things matter, and that's it played a huge role in why the White Sox failed in this series. But let's go back to it. Lance Lynn, game one, 3 2/3, 5 earned runs. Game two, Lucas Giolito, which was the best of the starters, 4 1/3, 4 earned runs. Game three, the game they won, Dylan Cease went an inning and 2/3. And then yesterday we saw Rodon not make it out of the third inning. So that also has an impact.
And this is what bothers me is the White Sox populace has been so patient and so good at waiting and waiting on the people they were told to wait on, like Cease. Then you're like, well, we all know Carlos Rodon really wants to do this. But the problem is that stuff doesn't matter when you're facing the teams that are built by design to win series. Like, it shouldn't come down to like a movie ending for your hopes to try to win a 10-1 ball game. It wasn't just the upper quadrant of the strike zone. It is the systematic issue of there being an issue with Grandal and Rodon's slider. If that really is a thing, we're focusing on Grandal's offense because we're not getting out of the second base and third base positions. Why isn't Adam Engel in right field? Why are we having to do all of this patchwork here?
It's also been a weird year, Frank. frankly, for White Sox fans and the way that a large segment of the fan base has comported themselves, where, yeah, it's been fun and there's been this sort of, you know, rah-rah aspect to it, but a lack of critical thinking and this sort of absolute buy-in seemed kind of small market to me on a lot of levels about how everything is awesome and everything is wonderful and how dare you try to say, point something out that might not be perfect. Man, you got a lot more patience than I do as a fan. Maybe I just got fewer years left on the earth than you do, and it's just people thinking that this is something promised to them. But these are precious bites at the apple when you get to the playoffs, and you have these seasons where you happen to be in a division where things kind of play your way, and you stay out of the play-in game, and you get in a real series. And then that happens, and you get absolutely pantsed. Be angry about it. You deserve better. I don't know if you're going to get better because Jerry didn't care. And it's just this feeling of just lapping up something that's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to be taken for granted and be treated like this just because the owner on a whim wants to hang out with his buddy and try to right some old wrong when nobody in baseball wanted it to happen. Nobody in the building wanted it to happen. And it's all okay and everything's fine. It's not fine. It's very far from fine. And you should be angry.
There are a lot of reasons to be angry. The free agency moves that you made to try to hang your hat on some of the arms that you thought were going to be there for you weren't there either. And we have to start taking a real look at some of these trades.
When we come back, I want you to hear some evaluation from former White Sox catcher A.J. Pierzynski, who he was right on it. It felt like he was in our group text. I mean, with all the things that were flying back and forth about what are they doing and who's up and who's not up, and he would have fit right in with the show group chat yesterday. We'll hear from him next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
0-2. Correa to left field. That will get down for a base hit. Altuve and Bregman will score, and the Astros take the lead. Correa with a two-run double in the third.
And that's when you felt it was in, because that's when you started into the bullpen and you just saw what their approach was. Can't throw three straight fastballs to that guy. You can't put the third one right there on the dong for him to knock into left. I mean, it's not like that.
For everybody who dragged us for wanting to start Lance Lynn over a clearly not healthy Carlos Rodon, the whole argument was the fastballs and the Astros attack fastballs. So why on God's green earth was the plan to throw majority fastballs to them for those 2 2/3 innings?
Because he didn't have command. He didn't spot the slider. And look,
that's the thing. When you're injured, guess what? Your off-speed stuff isn't going to work. And that's why you don't play people who aren't healthy.
It's why Steve Stone said he wanted to mix in a changeup to try to make the stuff look a little faster and make everything keep him honest. And he didn't. He didn't do that. I thought A.J. Pierzynski had a terrific series. I thought he's really getting good as an analyst.
The entire combination of Adam Amin, A.J. Pierzynski, and Adam Wainwright, if you want to grow your game or if you want to at least keep people watching, those three were Exhibit A.
And this was Pierzynski on FS1 talking about how Kopech was ready, when he was ready, and why he should have been.
I was still trying to figure out why Kopech wasn't in the game one hitter earlier. I know Rodon has owned Correa through his career, but you get Kopech up for that moment. You don't wait until you're behind in the game. If I'm Tony La Russa, I have Kopech in that game to get that guy out. Right, bases load to get Correa out. Now you bring him in, and now Gurriel's thinking, man, this is just gravy, right? If I get a hit here, we're up 4-1. We're thinking about Boston Red Sox possibly. I know it's early in the game, but if it's me, I have a righty ready for that moment. You got to think ahead, right? So, and they have a full bullpen. They have Kopech, they have Lynn, who's down there. They have Tapera. They have all these righties that are ready to go. You could have had, as soon as we talked about it, we saw some signs of Rodon tiring. Two really long at-bats, right? Especially against Alvarez. Boom, bases loaded. Base it, you're trailing, crowd's out of the game, got to get Gurriel out here.
Bingo. And you can look at my timestamp at our group chat and you can sync that up with exactly what I was saying at the time. And I was screaming, get Rodon out of there. I did not want him to face Correa. And you know who you could use? Hendricks. Kimbrel.
That's one of those outs. It's an elimination game.
Yeah, this is empty the tank.
It's an elimination game. If you want to get Kimbrel gets ready fast, get him up to get that out. And if he wants to get three more outs or four more outs, have him get those too. You don't screw around with that out. The third fastball that out, look at me, I'm going to get the big cheers and scream, let's go. No, he took your ass into left. That was it.
Even theoretically, Giolito 4 days later on only 3
Fine.
Days rest.
Fine.
There were other options there.
But even Giolito's got a, you know, started, has a process for warming, and I don't know if you're going to hurry him up. Get Hendricks in there. Go get that out.
Also, just knowing the fragility of Rodon and what the plan clearly was, which AJ and Waino discussed really well throughout his outing, was he knows that he is in there for a certain amount of time and a certain amount of time only. So why don't you have some dude warm up starting in the second inning? If that was actually the plan, which we all seem to think it was, and so you could tell by Carlos just giving you everything he had and what he had left, nobody is questioning his ought to here, once again. But the idea being, if that's a plan, then just have the dude warm up already in the second.
You can't be caught flat-footed there once you've made that decision. Even after the manager said, well, don't know. The manager said beforehand, we don't know what we're going to get.
It was just also the entire just attitude of like, that other games were guaranteed. Like saving Kopech in game two because you thought you were going to have him in game four when you didn't know you were going to have a game four. Thinking once again that you might not have somebody available in a game five that you're going to have. You really thought that the Astros didn't think that you were going to throw Michael Kopech? You just didn't want to tell your fans. That's all you're doing there.
Meanwhile, Kopech wasn't any good either.
No.
And A.J. Pierzynski had some thoughts as to why.
Tom Verducci's down to the field. What do you got, bud?
Yeah, we got Garrett Crochet up in the bullpen, obviously, to match up with Brantley. And giving Michael Kopech a lot of rope here. And, A.J., I think you're right about stuff not being as crisp to be expected after the 47 pitches a couple of days ago.
Really felt like that out of the gate.
Absolutely. His fastball didn't look as sharp. His breaking ball definitely didn't have the bite. But again, he hasn't done this. He's thrown 46 pitches, and normally they give him 3 days off.
Right.
This is 1 day off, right back into a high leverage situation. He got the first out. Tucker got the hit. Easily steals second. Easily steals third. And now they're back in it with one out.
And the easily stealing stuff, that's another thing, too. And AJ was all over him for that, about how he didn't try to draw an interference when he just chose to not throw down.
And once again, if you have a catcher and you can't trust the framing of a signature pitch of somebody in an elimination game, and a team decides that they can run all over you, I'm here for his offense. But you know why you need the offense? Because you're not getting it out of other players. And that's where this systematically is a real problem.
You got too many DHs on this team is what you got at the moment. Tom, Gold Coast, you're on the score. Hi, Tom. Tom, we got you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. I mean, for me, after game two, I was almost at peace with what was an inevitable. I thought the difference was almost night and day between what the Sox were, a division winner, versus the Astros, a like battle-tested World Series contender. You know, you'd see them working through the pitch counts where Sox would be up 0-2, and then a minute later, it'd be 3-2 count. Mm-hmm. You would see if they got a leadoff guy on base, that guy would move over and score. So it's almost like after game two, I was like, if we're going to lose, I want us to lose badly, just to show Jerry Reinsdorf, hey, this is how far we have to go from a division contender to a World Series contender.
That's what last year was supposed to be, though. We lived this already.
Yes.
We lived this year. They said World Series standard this year. Everything you're saying, I totally get, but that was how we left a year ago.
You didn't want to get swept by the
A's. Saying that's
A's.
Not good enough.
And how many more years left do you have of certain arms?
You can't waste these chances. They're precious, precious opportunities.
And we've already seen, I think, the expiration date of one of the major free agent signings before the 2020 season. There's got to be a real offseason reckoning about what to do about Dallas Keuchel, because he was supposed to be a main cog in this season.
Jose Abreu isn't getting any younger.
The other problem, too, is we're not even talking about the lack of extra base hits overall and the lack of offense from people you need it from. You have to get better hitting out of Yoan Moncada. And I understand that long COVID might have been an issue. But if it is, at what point do you have to address it in a certain way that's productive?
In Lombard, it's Matt on the score. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Layla. Hey, Dan. How are you?
Okay.
I'm talking about addressing pitchers being creatures of habit. At the trade deadline, the Sox acquire, at the time, the best closer in baseball in Kimbrel. Then La Russa decides not to use him as a closer, and he's terrible. I find that as failures. La Russa, I'd love to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think we've maintained that. We've maintained that since he has been traded for, that I think Craig Kimbrel has established he's more comfortable in the ninth. The overwhelming ERA change from that inning to the ninth would indicate that that's the case. But if Tony La Russa or whoever on the White Sox, Ethan Katz, whoever you want to say that decision was down to, didn't want to use him there, then that makes the trade a problem. It makes it almost a failure. If you don't want to use that guy where you think he's best used and you insist on using Liam Hendricks where you put him and you don't want to change it, then you trade it for a guy that you're not putting in a position to succeed.
It just feels like it was all such a waste. Like, what was the point of all of the bluster about after last year? Just remember what was said a year ago. We want to remember how this feels, and we don't want this to happen again. And they knew that they needed a better manager, and everything got blown up by the owner. That's what sucks about this, is they knew this was all not okay last year. We did this show, and then they chose to do it again for no good reason. They could have hired AJ Hinch. And they even kind of gave it away that that was the plan, if you remember when they put up that graphic on Twitter.
Emails to season ticket holders.
Where they already had his signature on there, that was already done. That's the shame of this, is we did this already.
I think they underestimated the details, right?
Yes.
When we talk about the little things, how much of an impact that plays into winning games in the postseason. Because you look at it, just, break it down. The approaches at the plate with runners in scoring position or even on base. The White Sox compared to the Astros. The White Sox are trying to hit 7-run home runs to left field. Or they're swinging at pitchers, while the Astros are fouling things off. Talk about positioning, analytics, what Tony La Russa is doing in the dugout, getting pitchers up in time, using the correct pitchers. All of that comes into play. Base running, throwing through cutoff man, allowing extra bases to be taken from your opponent. That needs to be shored up, or else this team isn't a legit contender. We could talk about the starting pitching all we want. I think that's a huge factor.
You have to get more out of your starting pitching that
Absolutely.
You spent a lot of money on and traded for and cultivated. You have to get more out of your starting pitching in order to even have any of this go.
It starts there, and I 100% agree with
you.
And
with that team in particular, and the way the Sox have always been as an organization, that's where it starts. Lynn, Giolito, Cease, and Rodon combined for only 12 and a third innings and a 10.22 ERA. That is not going to get any job done.
We're Bernstein and Rahimi. We will turn our attention to the NFL. Anything going on in that league? Mike Florio will answer that question next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.